Glad for everyone's presence this morning. Glad that we're able to come together to worship God, and in doing so that we can uplift each other in the faith of our Lord. The book of Hosea in the Old Testament, Hosea chapter 4. It says in chapter 4 and verse 1, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away. And the beasts of the field and the birds of the air, even the fish of the sea, will be taken away. Now let no man be content, no man contend or rebuke another, for your people are like those who contend with the priest, and therefore you shall stumble in the day, and the prophet shall also stumble with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being my priest, because you have forgotten the law of your God, and I will forget your children." Now you might think, well, that's really a harsh thing to say to the people of Israel. Hosea, of course, wanted them to understand that the condition spiritually they were in and what was going to happen to them because of their rejection of God was an important thing for them to know and to understand. They needed to see the truth and to know the truth immediately, lest they would not repent and come back to God. This was spoken by Hosea the prophet. And it was, we have to understand, the idea was they needed to know the will and the word of God. And that's what we need to know also. Hosea preached in a time, he was a prophet of God, somewhere between 800 and 700 years before the coming of Christ. But he was preaching to a people who were going to be taken away into captivity. He was a preacher and teacher and prophet to the northern 10 tribes of Israel, the ones that had broken away from the kingdom of Judah after the time of Solomon. And their time was limited. Yeah, they were going to be taken away and into captivity in Assyria. And when that happened, they were not going to return. Now, there would be a few of them that were still faithful, that would continue in the faith of God and of the Lord and under the law to preserve the 12 tribes of Israel. But by and large, when they were taken, they did not come back. Eventually, their children and grandchildren intermarried with the people where they went, and they lost their identity. But in for example, in the time of Hosea, within a time of about 25 years period of time, there were 6 different kings of Israel. Not only that, there were 4 of the kings who were assassinated, and another king took his place. There was one that was captured in battle and never came back. And again, this is the northern kingdom of the tribes of Israel, of the ones that had broken away from Jerusalem and from Judea and from the tribes that were left. They were still marginally faithful to God, you might say, and these were not. So it was a time of social problems and serious spiritual problems, as we read there in Hosea chapter 4. Now, it should not escape our thought when we read those first about 5 verses of Hosea chapter 4, that almost sounds like in the day that we're living now. In fact, it's very similar. We have the same troubles, the same problems, the same sins, and all of those things today as they did then. The reason is because we're all human beings. They may have had a different culture and a different time they lived in, but we as human beings have always been the same. When we turn away from God, that's the things people turn to. He says there in verse 2, "By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery. They break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. That kind of sounds like time we're living in, too. And we know that. All we have to do is turn on the television or radio or get on the internet, and you're going to see that. That's the way people are doing today. But what was what happened? How did that come about? These were the people of God, at least nominally they were. They were the chosen people of God under the law of Moses. Well, how did they get in that condition? How do they go so far away from God and God's will? Well, verse 6 tells us, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being a priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children." They brought it on themselves. And so chapter 4 and verse 1 says God has a problem. He has a charge against you and the inhabitants of the land. And the root problem, of course, as I said, was ignorance. There's two reasons for ignorance. Now, ignorance does not mean somebody's not intelligent or can't learn. It's they don't learn for whatever reason. Now, the first reason is maybe a natural part of that, is that they do not have an opportunity to know and to understand, and so they just haven't been told. And there's millions of people in the world today that are ignorant of God's will because they have not had an opportunity to hear the message of God. And that's part of our responsibility as God's people, to take the message of God to the people who don't know about it. But the other side of that, the other side of ignorance, is what we might call willful ignorance. There is an opportunity to know God, but they have rejected it. Now, the people that lived in the time of Hosea, they had Hosea, they had Elijah and Elisha, who lived in the northern kingdom of Israel. The three of the greatest prophets that ever lived in that particular part of Israel. And there were others also. And so it wasn't that they didn't have the opportunity. It wasn't that they didn't have the law in written form. And even in the kingdom of Israel, like Judah, there were still some priests and Levites and others who were teaching the will of God faithfully. So it wasn't that they didn't have the opportunity, but they rejected it. And you think about our time in which we live today. Just as he says there, as I read a moment ago in verse 2, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they've broken away from all restraint. You look in our nation today, and the last thing many people want to have is some kind of restraint, a spiritual restraint upon the way they act and the things that they do. And the root problem goes back to ignorance again. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5, about 800 years later, from the time of Hosea, the Apostle Peter explains there that they did not want God to be a part of their life and the knowledge of God. It wasn't that they didn't have the opportunity. They didn't want it. They didn't want to bow before God and to follow His way, even that, though that was the best thing for them. So there is a peril of ignorance that causes several problems and troubles. That's why the lesson today is called Imperiling Ignorance. Now, we're ignorant on our own response because, as the law sometimes says, ignorance is no excuse. And if we're going to follow the Lord, we can't stand before God on the day of judgment and say, "I didn't know," because we have an opportunity brought to us and revealed to us in the Word of God to know what God wants, know what we are to believe, and to be willing to follow it. First of all, we look at Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. He says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel." Notice he says, "Hear the word of the Lord." Well, they weren't doing that. They didn't want to hear the word of the Lord, because they would have to change their ways if they did. "For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. What do? They turn not only against hearing the word of God, they turn to their own way. But what is the result? What is always the result of turning away from God with mankind? There is selfishness, there is immorality, there is all these things that we see in the world around us today whenever people reject the true knowledge of God. And he says there is no knowledge of the true God. In other words, they had the opportunity. They weren't ignorant because they didn't have any opportunity to know. They were ignorant because they didn't want to know and they didn't take the opportunity to study and to learn. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul talks about the Jews and the Gentiles who were in the same kind of situation as they were in the days of Hosea. But he says there is no fear of God in their hearts. If people don't fear God because they don't know about him, they're not going to do what he says. There is fear, meaning respect and reverence, but also fear, knowing that if we reject God, we're going to receive the consequences. In Romans chapter 1, Paul said there, those who rejected God, they refused to have God in their knowledge. And so that was the problem in Hosea's day with the northern tribes of Israel. By and large, they had turned away from God and refused to have God in their knowledge. And there was no obedience to God. They didn't want to bow down to God and do what God wanted. They wanted to do what they wanted to do and live the way that they want. And so evil ruled in their lives. Well, how does that come about? Turn back all the way to the book of 1 John. In 1 John, we find John the Apostle writing there. 1 John chapter 2. The Apostle John says, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, he says, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the world. The pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust thereof, but he who does the will of God abides forever." He says, here's the choice you have to make. He says, don't love the world or the things of the world, because that's going to bring destruction. It did in the days of Hosea. It did in the days of the prophets. It did, for example, in 70 AD when God caused the city of Jerusalem to be destroyed because they had rejected Jesus Christ by and large. They had rejected him as the Son of God. And so he says, do not love the world or the things of this world. That doesn't mean we're not to love each other and the fact that God gives us the opportunity to work and to serve and to earn a living and do those things. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the ways of the world and the things that Hosea was condemning in them. There are no guidelines for morality that they would follow. They turned away from it completely. If you go over Romans chapter 1, I'm not going to read that whole chapter, but in Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul begins about verse 20 and talking about the Gentile world as he was living in it at the time and how they got to be where they were. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, he says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." What is he saying there? The Gentile world was without excuse because in the creation that God had made, they could see God if they wanted to. If they didn't rebel against him, they could see the power of God. We can still see that today. Now, we may not understand all of what God wants of us by observing the stars and the moon at night, the sun during the day, and all of the greatness of the creation we live in. But we can understand there is a God. And that's what he's talking about. Verse 21 says, because although they knew not God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image of the corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Therefore God gave them up unto uncleanness and lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. They served and worshipped the creature rather than the Creator, because they had rejected a God. And in their ignorance then, they turned away from worshiping the true God. We go back to the book of Ephesians for a moment. Ephesians chapter 4, and look at verse 17. Ephesians 4, verse 17. He says there, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. He's talking about those who had an opportunity to know God, but they rejected it. He says they walk and live in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God because of ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, who work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so much learned Christ. So if you learn Christ, you're not going to live in that way. So they had rejected that. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, Paul warns of those who are so embedded in the sin that they were past feeling. It was like their heart was seared with a hot iron, which is the illustration that Paul uses. Well, that was the situation in the days of Hosea. And it is very often as in our days also with people of the same attitude. They turn to idolatry. Hosea chapter 4 in verse 3 says, therefore the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away, with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air, even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Now let no man contend or rebuke another, for your people are like those who contend with the priest. In other words, even the priests who are trying to do what's right, to teach them a way of God, they rejected it. They refused to hear it. Yeah, the prophets like Hosea that were sent to them, they refused their message. And the term, the name Ephraim is used there also during this passage. Ephraim was the largest of the tribes of Israel in the land of Israel. So several times in the Old Testament, the term Ephraim was used for the entire nation of Israel, the northern kingdom. And it's used that way here. But when men begin to reject God and turn to worship of things rather than God, that's where ignorance sets in, and they simply go farther and farther away from God. There's no other way they can go. That is the only way that it can be done, and it will always be that way, because that's the way human beings are. When we reject the will of God, we turn away from His will and His way. These secondary things become primary. Business or work or personal pleasure or whatever, anything we put in the place of God's will, that becomes our idol before God. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul there says that desire for the things of this world, covetousness in other words, he says covetousness is idolatry. Now, we may not carve out an image and from stone or gold or whatever it might be and then bow down before it and say that you're our God, like many of them did, and many today do the same. We may not do that, but if the things of this world are the most important things in our life, to the exclusion of God, that becomes our idol. Just as much as if we bow down before a golden idol or whatever it may be. But also we have the inevitable situation and the doom that they're going to face. Notice he says there, verse 3, therefore the land mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Let no man contend or rebuke another, for your people are like those who contend with a priest. Therefore, you shall stumble in the day. The prophet shall also stumble with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother, for my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I will also reject you from being priests for me, because you have forgotten the law of your God, and I will also forget your children. That's difficult. That was probably very difficult for Hosea to write that. And yet he knew that's what the people needed to hear. Now you skip down now, Hosea chapter 4 and verse 9. He says, it shall be like people like priests, so I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds. In other words, the priests who have turned away from God and began to teach the ways of man, led them into idolatry and led them into immorality and dishonesty and all of those other things, he says, I'm going to destroy them. That's what's going to happen. And it will happen, and it did a few years later after Hosea was a prophet to them. Israel had sown, and now they were going to reap what they had sown. Turn over to Hosea chapter 8 and verse 7. Hosea chapter 8 and verse 7. He says there, they sow the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. The stalk has no bud, and it shall never produce meal, nor it should produce. Aliens will swallow it up. Israel is swallowed up, and now they are among the Gentiles like a vessel in which there is no pleasure. God says, I'm going to destroy you completely. And he did, except for the very few who were still faithful to God. Most of them, when this came about, went to the kingdom of Judah and lived there. Now, we know there is a small remnant because there are several mentioned in the New Testament. There were of the tribes that were taken into captivity and never came back. For example, in Luke chapter 1, we have Anna the prophetess, who is identified of the tribe of Asher. That was one of those 10 tribes that never came back. So there were some faithful who were still there. But by and large, they turned away from God. But he says there, they sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. God's message of sowing and reaping has been told over and over again. That's always true. The physical world and the spiritual world. You go back all the way to the book of Genesis at the creation, and when God created the plants and the animals, it says they will reproduce after their kind. There will be that sowing of the seed and then the production which comes from it. It's always going to be that way. Turn back to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul, he wasn't actually quoting from Hosea, but he certainly was making a reference to it. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. He says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. In other words, we think that we can do our things our way, and God will just kind of be all right with that. So whatever seed we sow, it'll be okay with God. He says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. We can't mock God and stand before him righteous on the day of judgment. He says, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. We have to do what the Spirit reveals to us in the Word of God. That's how we have to live. So in Hosea's day, he says, they've sown the wind, and they're going to reap the whirlwind. We might say a tornado. That's more the idea that's found there, because they were going to suffer terribly for what they did. Well, what about us? In Romans 6 and verse 23, Paul says, the wages of sin is death. Well, that's what we will receive If we live in sin and we reject God and we have the opportunity to know the difference, we're going to stand before God in judgment and we're going to give an account for what we have done. But Israel was to experience physical death as a nation because of their rejection of God. Hosea 13 and verse 16, he says, Samaria is held guilty. Remember, Samaria is the term for all of that kingdom of Israel. He says, for she has rebelled against her God, and they shall fall by the sword. Their infants shall be dashed into pieces. Her women with child shall be ripped open. Now you can read on chapter 14 more of that. But God prophesied through Hosea that's what's going to happen to them. And it did. Death for us is separation from God because we have rejected His message. We have not lived up to what we know and the Bible teaches to us. So we cannot afford to be ignorant of God's will. Now, to be sure, even if we study a great deal the Word of God, we're not ever going to come to the conclusion that we know enough and so we don't need to study anymore. It's an ongoing thing. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, towards the end of his life, wrote to Timothy. He says, when you come to me, bring a cloak that I left behind there that I need. And he says, bring the books and the parchments. In other words, you bring those writings you have received and the writings that I need to study and to study up on and continue to do so. So Paul the Apostle, near his death, wanted to have those things so he could continue to study and to learn. We need to do the same. Follow the same kind of example. We have to know the truth and act accordingly, to believe, to obey the gospel of Christ. And we have to be willing to do what God commands. Turn over for a moment to the book of James. In James chapter 1. James 1 and verse 22, he says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If we simply hear the word and we're not willing to put it into practice, we're just deceiving ourselves. We're lying to ourselves, in other words. In chapter 4 and verse 17, he says, therefore to him that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Sin is just not doing what's right, but also staying away from what's wrong, but also not doing what's right. We have to do both because we sin against God either way. But God is willing to forgive because of His grace and love and mercy. We have to accept it and believe it and continue to study and to learn. This morning, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, that invitation is open now if you need to come. Won't you do so as we stand and sing?